that they would pay that tribute to us. The next day, they would show on TV our flag and their and the nation's flag flying together. Don't they raise the Irish flag on the patriotic day? Because those people have earned respect. Now, dear beloved people, the Caucasian race have called us by names that if we study them, they reveal hidden sentiments, hidden sensitivities in the racist mentality. The best one that comes to my mind now is the label coon. Have you heard? When I was a young boy, we used to hear it often, but now you don't hear it too much. They used to call us the coon. Now, let's look at this term coon. See, I don't give no sermons. I give education. And you don't go to school for no hour, do you? You go to school for 8 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours. All right. Let's look at this animal coon. And in studying the animal coon, we will learn something about their thinking, their racist thinking, about their attitude toward us. What's bothering them from us? We'll find it out. The coon is an animal that looks wild and looks like he could be vicious. But he makes one of the finest pets you've ever seen. It is good, yeah. He makes one of the finest pets you've ever seen. He's also an animal that loves the water. Now, in the racist symbolism that started this thing, water means emotionalism, sensitivity. See, water is very sensitive. You just touch it and it quivers. So, he loves that habitat where he can live in the womb of emotionalism, like the water. Very sensitive spirituality. Very sensitive emotional makeup, like water. The coon, his habitat is the water. He likes to play in the water. He gets up, if there's water around, he goes and he plays in the water. He likes to go and play in the water. He spends a lot of time in the water. Water is his playground. And if you make it impossible for him to stay in his own native habitat, he'll live anywhere. A lot of animals will die out if you destroy or disrupt their habitat. But the coon is a fella. You can disrupt his habitat. You can destroy it and make him move on somewhere else. He still fares very well. He has no sense of attachment to a living shroud. Living shroud means your living place. He has no sense of attachment to it. He just get up and jump and go somewhere else. And he doesn't care about having his own independent quarters. If you force him to live in your town, he'll live in your town. He doesn't even have to go out and get the berries, the wild berries that he was accustomed to for a billion years. He was accustomed to eating certain berries, certain things, certain fish. You know, they eat fish too. He's accustomed to eating those things. And, you know, and if you just immediately take him from his diet, he doesn't care. He'll live in the city. He'll eat from your garbage can. seem to thrive just as well. Just as well as he did. He continues to multiply. You know? Whereas other animals, they stop multiplying. They start dying out. They lose their instinct for life when you shatter their living, a fate that they were accustomed to. You shatter that and they don't want to live no more. They stop producing and everything. They just die out. But the coon, you can hunt him. You hunt him, you kill so many off, hunt him. Raccoon, cap, coon, mitten, you know. And the coon just keeps going, just keeps driving, just like nothing's wrong. Nothing happened yet. Wrong. You move him out of his whole country. And don't give him no house to live in. He'll live up in the tree, behind a bush, behind the garbage can. He eat out the garbage can. And will follow you. You know, he see you throw out some garbage, you got him. He follow you. And if you treat him a little nice, you got a friend that will go through hellfire and brimstone for you. He's your pet forever. Now, can't you understand something in their mind when they say you coon? You know what they're saying? You a disgrace to the human image. You're subhuman. You don't have human nature. You niggers. You coon. We take you from Africa, take you from your native traditions, and you're just a happy here in a slave camp as you were free in Africa. What will upset you, niggas? You cold! God damn you cold! You're an insult to human dignity. Yeah! That's what's raising on the man's mind. Every time he look at you, he sees an image of what he says he is. He says he's human. He says he's a man. And he look at you and you look exactly like what he says, but you a coon. This creature have no high aspirations. He has no sense of social integration. Don't you know we should have a sense of social integration with ourselves? We should have a Belalian social conscience. Our family shouldn't be in the shape they are in because our own social conscience wouldn't allow it or shouldn't allow it. Don't you know that? Dear beloved people, we are coons. The man wasn't lying. We're coons. Many of us are coons. Shatter the patterns of our life. Uproot us from the natural habitat, and we will accept welfare that's a garbage can. That's what that is. It's worse. I would rather be a hobo or a beggar out there going behind your doors at night after you throw your garbage out. I'd rather be a coon than to be what they are. That's right. Well, the coon, at least he's getting the garbage. He doesn't sit out there and say, hey, put some garbage in my mouth, baby. Don't you know I have to be fed? When you keep asking for handouts from the government, you're saying, baby, put some triflings, put some tricklets, put some triflings in my mouth, baby. Put some garbage in my mouth, baby. I have to be fed. Our men should have such respect for themselves as a social group, that they would be so alarmed at this long period of welfare existence that have taken the manhood from us and have made the welfare check deliverer our daddy, the husband of our wives. We would be so ashamed and so fed up with that until we are organized, not to police the neighborhood, not to police patrol the neighborhood to stop gang killings, patrol it as a demonstration of our militancy, defiant militancy that says no more. Give us jobs or give us death. Do it to you because of your color. They do it to you because of your coonness. Yes. You have the nature to go along with it. You're easygoing, cool. Make a fine pet that feed on trifling. Trivial things. Frivolous things. Petty stuff. Garbage. Throw out. Trash. So since you're such a good coon, they do it. But if you had human social dignity and you stood up and demand a situation that would allow you to be a dignified community, they would listen to you, they would respect you, and you wouldn't have to do near as much as the Irish had to do to win respectability. Because they would be so relieved, they'd be so happy that you finally came to your human senses, that they would congratulate you. Say, good God, no. You say, who's trying to make trouble for those people? No. You tell them, lay off. We'll send down the National Guard if we have to. Tell them, lay off. They'd be so happy to see us give some kind of support to their concept of a human being. Coon people. It's a shame. One other thing, and then we're going to dismiss. And I promise you that the other we could pass over. They wanted to talk about something, but we'll leave that for next. I want to talk about the Superman friend. You know, that's what they call Superman, friend. He's the friend. Superman, the friend. And in that latest Superman movie, his name was Khalil, and it's Arabic for friend. Not this latest one, not this one coming out now. I don't know what they call it. But the one before this one. They got one out now. I haven't seen it. But the one before this one, where they were up in the sky on an ice planet made of crystal, and the baby came down. In that one, he was called Khalil. He was given the name from his parents, Khalil. On Earth, he was Superman. Superman, the friend. So we want to talk about that. We want to talk about that, but we'll do it another time. But I just can't leave this thing here. I have to talk to you about the ribbon. The ribbon. Now, you can laugh if you want to, but I'm going to tell you what's behind this ribbon. My natural response to the question of us wearing the ribbon was to say no. It was just a natural automatic response. I said no. Why? Because to me, it keeps us in that same old groove or trend of following the patterns that's set by other people for us. Now, they wore yellow ribbons to welcome the Iranian hostages back to America, back to freedom. Now, they suggest now that we wear ribbons to express our sentiments for the children that have been murdered in Atlanta. Oh, that's such a nice thing. How can a man be against something like that? And already, I've gotten some trouble from people. Why? Why? What's wrong with it? I said, well, it's just something that they started, that's symbolic. We don't want to follow their symbolism. That's their symbolism. We don't want to follow it. Doesn't mean we don't support the children. We will join them. So I was asked, say, how can you join them if you don't wear that symbol? I said, they have to agree that we wear what we want to wear. If they can't agree to that, then we won't join them. We have to do our own demonstration by ourselves. If we want to, if they won't accept us to be with them, we can demonstrate by ourselves. In fact, we'll have a biggest group anyway. We would. If I would ask for a demonstration, there'd be more support for it than they could get. So why do we have to join them anyway? But I would join them for the sake of mutual cooperation, or cooperation and mutual recognition. You see, I would do that. Now, since I said that, I began to think on ribbon. And the idea, the picture that came to me was the picture of a woman with Jesus crying and wiping his feet with her hair. Okay. Behind that picture, it came to my mind. Ribbons are for holding hair. So I knew the symbolism for hair. Now I say ribbons are for holding hair. Now I know the symbolism for ribbons. All right? Then I say, why should we have that symbolism? Why should we go along with that symbolism? Holding hair. All this secret language over the head of the masses. And they just go along with it like stupid nuts. Don't even ask. Look, what was the ribbon? How come we can't wear anything? How come we can't carry the African flag? You know? Say, since this is our thing, how come we can't carry the black, red, and green flag? That would show at least some independent thinking on our part, wouldn't it? But no, ribbon. We just fall right into the trend. Ribbon. The Bible says, and the woman was made from a rib of man. All right? From a rib of man. The ship has ribs. The ribs of a ship normally are between the keel of the ship and the stern of the ship. All right? Okay. Now, say if I can picture myself as a ship. Do I have any grounds for making this kind of association? Yes! Because the European people, well, it wasn't the European, Middle Eastern people, they used to worship a god who had half of his body from here down, from the trunk down, was a fish. And from the trunk up was a man. And they show him making certain hand gestures that indicate what each hand means in relationship to his deformed or his mythological body. All right? So when I saw that, his name is Dagon. D-A-G-O-N, I think it's spelled. Dagon, the mythological god Dagon. This is a very ancient thing before Christianity. Now, what else do we have? We have the knowledge of the word rib. From the dictionary, you can look it up yourself. Rib means milk. Rib means milk. Now, in the word riboflavin, it refers to milk. There's another word for it, lactoflavin. Means milk. I think it's the substance of the milk, right? Or acid of the milk or something. It means that, no, the substance of the milk. The calcium, I think, of the milk. The lactose. You understand? Okay. So if rib means milk, then let us now go back and look at the woman who's washing Jesus' feet. Her name is Mary Magdalene. She's called Mary Magdalene because she comes from a town called Magdala on the shore of Galilee. The people of that quarter were known to be very highly emotional people. From them came the zealots. People that were just given to emotional rages. All right? They show her in the New Testament washing Jesus' feet with her hair. Mary Magdalene. There's another word in the dictionary. You look it up yourself. You can't find it in every dictionary, but you can find it in the big what they call that big volume? Webster's Unabridged. 8th edition. Bigger volume. You can find it in there. You also can find it in some other more complete dictionary. All right. We find that maudlin, the word maudlin, means one who is sickly given to sentimentalism. Sickly given to sentimentalism, just like many of us. City ma'am stops the cat. What? He stopped giving the... He didn't help that sister. What? What do you all say about that? The man stops the cat. That sister need help. That sister stay in that apartment, and I know she live in that apartment, and she ain't hardly got these running water. The man just do that time. Mary Magdalene, maudlin. Okay. White man come out and shoot up, have a racist party, come in the neighborhood and kill up 4 or 5 innocent people. We go to church and have the funeral. Red means sentiment. Uninhibited sentiment. Red. Mean you're giving a full heart. Full blood of the heart. Sentiment. Uninhibited sentiment. Just loose sentiment. Not governed by intelligence or anything. That's red. That's why they have red as a symbol for danger. You're in danger when you don't have intelligent control of your sentiments or of your spiritual impulses or inclinations. If you don't have intelligent control, you're in danger. So they have a red light. And when the bull is about to charge, what do they say? They say the bull sees red. So it means that he is now completely dominated by influences on his impulses. He's out of control of himself. And he just goes rushing rushing headlong a bull at the target, at the red, right? This is the bull nature. All right. So we know what a red represents. So they say have a green ribbon. What would green ribbon represent then? Green represents culture. It also represents growth. Why does culture stand as a term for the green, or a definition for that symbol, green? Because green represents production in agriculture, in civilization. If you have a lot of natural life, most likely you are a better off country, right? And when you don't have that, most likely you're not all there. There's an exception. There's Arabia would have all the oil over there, but that's unusual. Wealth before in olden days was measured in terms of how much agricultural development you had, or how big a military force you had so you can get dominance over green ground. Maybe you didn't have no green ground, but you had a force that could get possession of other people's green ground, you see? Yeah. You heard the expression, the grass is greener on the other side. All right. So now, if we wear green ribbons, that green ribbon is going to say production, culture. So what does this say? If this is not coming directly to the minds of the people who are going to be participating, it's talking over their heads. And it's telling them to yield your heart, yield the sentiments of your heart to culture, to the culture. Don't do anything without outside of the cultural dictate. You see? Well, that's okay. Tell me that. But tell it to me as a man. Don't tell it to me in no symbol. Don't tell it to me over my head. It never reaches me. You're just telling yourself. So what are they saying to each other over our heads? We have to hold these niggas within the confines of the culture that we operate. They manipulate the culture. They operate the culture. So they're saying, look, tell them to wear green. Do you think you chose green ribbon? A lot of our people think, you don't know. You think you chose jazz. You never chose jazz. All this stuff you get, you didn't choose it. They choose it for you, but it comes through your own people, and we all think that it came from us. Dear beloved people, let us look again. In the ship, the keel is that part of the ship that's balanced by the water level. All right? You've heard the expression on an even keel? Okay, so above the water level, you don't have the keel, you have the rim. And above that, connecting that, you have the stern. All right? So what does that tell us? That tells us that part that's given to wobbling or to getting off keel is the part that's called the rib section. All right? So what part of you is given to slipping off of keel, skipping off of the even keel, slipping out of the even keel? It is the blind motivations of your heart. Isn't that right? Your blind sentiments, the blind impulses of your heart will take you off of intelligent keel or an even keel. So ribs represent that. When Genesis says the woman was made from a rib of man, it's saying the woman was made from the blind princess in man. That's why she's called Hera. And Allah tells us that anyone who gives himself to his own Hera is destined to be led astray. Is that right? Yes. And her name is Hera, or Hava in the Turkish language, and the Jewish language too, I think. Hava. Okay. So Hava now, Hava was made from the rib of the man. What is the rib of the man? It's that part that gives some kind of protection for the lungs. The heart is in the chest, everything in the chest, but the lungs almost fill the cavities of the chest, right? The lungs are so large, they just about fill the cavities of the chest. So when you expand your lungs, take an in-breath, what holds it, what keeps it from keeping on? It could go on up and bust, you know. The ribs are holding it. The ribs are checked on the spirit that's in the vicinity of your heart. Now, I don't want to just spill everything out. It should be clear enough. So here, the ribs...